finishing my peppermint in my mouth. Everybody remember what we've been talking about? The enemy of your soul for the last three Sundays. And I think it's been really good. There we go. And you can ask Brother Josh. I had a thought in mind. I'd been texting Brother Josh about my thought and getting slides ready and stuff like that. I don't know, was it about 10 o'clock last night, Brother Josh? I said, change of plans. God sent me in a different direction. And so so hopefully he didn't get too far into what he was doing. But God's in control. And so whenever I have a thought and I'm running with it, I want to be used of God, that if God says, nope, that's not the direction I want to go, I want to be sensitive enough to go, okay, which direction, Lord? And so if you'll turn into your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6, you can remain seated. Again, I've got a lot of verses to go through. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13 through 15. And then I'll be turning to James chapter 5, 7 through 11. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could only swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently, we're talking about Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But he had to patiently endure some things. Jumping over to James chapter 5 and verse 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So today I want to talk about everything kind of has lined up with just life and all of these lessons have really lined up together. And I enjoy watching God just kind of thread the needle. And so the Lord sent me to this late last night, and I began to studying it. And I would title it, if I could title it, The Blessings of Endurance. There's blessings if you endure. So of the 1,000 words that God inspired people to write, the word endurance arises from obscurity to teach us great lessons. And oh, what lessons does endurance teach? There's not a lot of preaching or testifying on endurance that I've ever heard. Sometimes it might sound like I have a little bit of faith, or I lack faith if I talk about I've endured. Because usually enduring something, that means I'm going to have to tell you the problem that I endured. And so sometimes that brings a negative light towards our faith. And enduring is not a lack of faith. Enduring is not a lack of victory. And enduring is not a lack of success. But enduring speaks volumes of grace and glory on the part of the person that's under stress. Christians and those that are trying to live a godly lifestyle have a thought of a pattern of faith, We often think that if we possess enough faith that we automatically find ourselves in a supernatural world, that we can supernaturally escape the things that come against us. Every problem, every sickness, every trial, somehow God makes a way of escape for those things. And he does, but I'm a realist. And in being a realist, I don't want to belittle God's delivering power. God is able to deliver. By no means should we ever belittle that. By no means we should ever allow endurance to hinder our faith from deliverance of these things. But at the same time, faith will give us an automatic escape from everything that is simply wrong. And God's word teaches us that we must endure some things. There are going to be some things in our life that we're just going to have to endure. And so sometimes we forget that walking with God is a vocation and not a vacation. Right? It's a vocation. What's a vocation? It's a strong inner calling. It's not a job. It's a mission. Webster's Dictionary defines vocation as not just it is such an inert desire for us to accomplish something that it's no longer a job, Brother Brent, but it's a mission. I am on a mission. And so living for God is not just a job. It's a mission. We often think as Christians we should never suffer even the slightest hindrance or the slightest privation. There's a lot of preaching about rising above difficulties and problems to a high plane of living where it's smooth sailing. And I mean, that's all well and good in words, Brother Weaver, but we all know, anybody who has encountered any problems at all in life, that it's not always smooth sailing, right? So that high plane of living where there's smooth sailing is easy to talk about, but we all know that it's usually short-lived. I've been always told that if you're in three places in life, either the devil's headed to your house, the devil's leaving your house, or the devil's on his way back to your house. You know what I mean? And so it's like, in my lifetime that I know if I just hold on, if I just endure, joy comes in the morning. And so encountering and enduring hardships tend to discourage us and fill our hearts with unbelief. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that you're unfaithful. Just because you're going through a trial or a tribulation doesn't mean that God's essentially testing you and tempting you to fail. God's not doing that. And so enduring these hardships tend to, as humans, discourage our hearts. Us as a society and as a church, we've developed a generation of both legal and illegal pill poppers who strive themselves to rid themselves of the slightest nervousness, the slightest depression, the slightest oppression, anything that we can do to not get into a problem, we try to avoid. And we need to face the facts. The reality of living for God involves enduring some things. God could give us, and God does give us, a way of escape through difficulty, but he doesn't do it immediately. He doesn't always do it as soon as I say, okay, God, this is too much for me to handle. I need you to take it away from me. No, God's working on me, and he's doing some things. And so just because we need to learn some lessons of endurance. And God applies those things to our lives. It doesn't mean that we should sit down and expect nothing from God either. Okay, well, God's putting me through this, so I'm just going to take it like a man, Brother Jerry. No. On the contrary, we should accept God's promises, believe him for his great things, his promises, his faithfulness, But we also have to maintain a balance, a life spiritual balance. We must accept some things must be endured. Prayer and research into God's word will give us answers on whether we must endure a situation or whether deliverance will come. God chooses to do whatever God chooses to do. I have to accept that and go, okay, God, your will be done. Not my will, your will. And when I do that, when I find myself going, okay, God, not my will or your, not my will, but your will be done, I have to, there's a joy in that. And I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with my whole heart because it's a mission. It's a mission for me. Failure is not an option. I know too much to turn around and to go back. Just because some little trial or some little situation has popped up into my life, I have come too far to turn around. And so we can move mountains. We can be healed. We have victory through faith in God, and God's promises are that very thing. But how beautiful it is to see and feel God's opening impossible doors and solving impossible problems when we're looking at it face to face. Oh, it's good to read about Job. Man, we can read the front and the back, probably in the same day if you're really good at reading 40-something chapters. And it's just in a time. But we don't realize that the time frame that Job had to endure the things that he did. Some say at least 2 years. And so it's something that we need to have in our minds that there's a beauty in serving God and enduring some hardships. Every one of God's promises are true. Every one of God's promises are faithful. And the same faith that brings deliverance also enables us to endure whatever God assigns us. So that same faith that I know God can deliver me is the same faith that I know God's going to bring me through whatever this is, right? If deliverance is not today, Brother Brent, I know that joy comes at some point, and I'm going to do this with all my heart. And so in fairness to God's word, we need to consider both the deliverance and endurance. So for time's sake, deliverance is not excluded, nor is it given to us in everything. Endurance is a Bible teaching, just as deliverance is. So what does it mean to endure? Since we're all called upon to endure certain varied things in life, we should have a clear and conscious understanding of the meaning of the word. Endure comes from the Greek word, hupomino, if I said that right, which means to stay under, to remain, to undergo, to bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere, to bear from underneath, to undergo hardships. Webster follows it up really closely by saying it means to stand, to bear, to undergo, to put up, to tolerate, and my favorite one, to hold out. Just hold out. It's going to be okay. Just hold out. So when deliverance doesn't come, we still say saved. I have that question for you today. If you're going through a trial or a tribulation, when deliverance doesn't come, are you going to stay? It's a question that it's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer that out loud. But when trials come, Brother Jerry, when heartaches come, when frustrations and irritations of life come, if I have faith enough and am I grounded enough to just say, you know what, God, I'm holding on, even if it's with a bulldog grip. And I had a minister reach out to me this week. I had several ministers on my heart, and so I messaged a few of them, told them I was praying for them, had them on my heart, and one of them reached back out and said, just keep holding on, Brother Colton. And I texted him back, and I said, with a bulldog grip, I'm holding on. Right? And we're all called. And so when deliverance doesn't come, I have made up in my mind, 1 Corinthians 10:13, Brother Josh, I've made up in my mind that I'm going to carry on, that I'm going to hold out. I'm going to walk with God no matter the load, no matter what's going on. 1 Corinthians 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. There you go. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now I want you to notice right there that with that temptation, he's going to make a way of escape. But it looks like at the very end of that verse that you're still going to have to go through it. He's not making a way of escape today. It's not happening right now. And I mean, with God, all things are possible. So my tongue gets tangled around my eye teeth. I can't see what I'm saying. So he'll make a way of escape. But it may not be right then. Just endure. Just for a little while. And so, be strong. Mark 4:16 and 17. Only the strong and well-grounded and deep-rooted are able to endure. Mark 4:16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have not root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. These are those that don't have a deep root. You've been put in some ground that have some stones, that have some issues, that have some things going on. And so instead of taking a deep root, extremely shallow. I had a friend come up. We had a couple friends from work. Brother Brent came by to my house the other day, a couple weeks ago. I needed some things done. And man, I had a band of brothers that came and helped me. And one of them was a big, I'm telling you, this oak tree was like that big around. And it had been cut down years ago, but it was still there, just a stump. And I was like, well, I'll get it ground down or something. And some of the guys came over with the Mini-X, and they literally, he tugged on it 5 minutes maybe, and he literally laid it over. And the roots of that oak tree were 6 inches deep, maybe 10 at the deepest. It had a whole bunch of them, but it didn't go very deep. And it didn't take much to pull that oak tree over, that stump. And so these are things that we need to be aware of, that if we don't root ourselves in the Word of God, and if we don't get some depth in the Word of God, then we find ourselves being offended and ultimately perishing and giving up too quickly. And so because of the lack of roots, when we pursue after the gospel, when we begin to plow, when we try to enter that narrow gate, we watch our adversary that will ultimately come, and our adversary is strong. He is. And he'll either push you over or he'll try and realize how deeply you're rooted. So through faith and God's help, we can endure. Look at your neighbor and say, I can endure. I can endure through faith and God's help that I can endure in a few things that we're going to endure from. So persecution. Jesus Christ came to build a church that the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against. From the very beginning, this church has been the object of persecution. Apostles, New Testament saints, saints to every generation to the present time, we have suffered under the cruel hand of persecution. God has miraculously delivered some from these fiery attacks. He did, and prime example, the three Hebrew boys, Daniel 3:17 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions. Go ahead. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. So this is the very beginning, Right, go to 3. Sorry, did I say 2? 3, 17 and 18. There you go. Here we are. All right, now they're standing in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's like, you're going to bow or else. And they're standing up and saying, we're not going to bow. And you may throw us in this fire. And if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Go to the next one. But if not, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship. Man, where are we at today? When the devil comes against us and the things in life come and we're going through trials and we're having to endure some things, I want to know if I have what they had. The gumption to stand up and go, but if not. Oh, my God can deliver me, but if not, guess what? I'm still going to serve my God. So I'm going to endure this all the way to the death. If it kills me, I will endure it. Because I know on the other side, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, right? So so because of these, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were a few. Peter, Paul, Silas from jail, others alike. James, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, we know, was beheaded because of a lot of the things he stood for. Thousands of others that have given their lives for truth. When you're enduring, and I'm talking about the blessings of endurance, the joy of living for God, but when you're enduring, are you willing to give it up? To give up this life and go, okay. Because I can tell you our country is on that we're on that road, that it's going to be one day. How easy was it for them to shut down churches for COVID? How easy was it? It was easy for them. Now, you had a few that stood up and bucked the system, but it was easy to plague us with fear, plague us as a generation, as a society with fear. And then what happened, right? And so I want to be one that stands and says, no, not if it goes against the teaching of the Word of God, if it goes against what I believe, if it goes against what God's Word says, then I'm going to stand against it and I'm going to endure some things. So persecution hasn't stopped from the very beginning. Great testimonies of deliverance have come from the records of history, as God has gloriously delivered some from their persecutions. Others were called upon to endure until the death, with the deliverance never coming in this life. And God made us God gave us the fortitude and resilience to stay true to Him regardless of what life brings. God gave us the fortitude. We just have to kind of dig deep. When the church, 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Brother Josh, the church of Thessalonica was being persecuted when Paul wrote this epistle to them. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. 2 Timothy 3:11 and 12. Paul mentioned some of his persecutions and reminded us that those who are living godly in Christ Jesus will suffer the same. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Listeria, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're just going to have to endure. Afflictions covers a range of meanings in the Bible, but in a general sense, afflictions mean that we face distress, we face tight places, we face hardships or sufferings. And God doesn't always deliver his people from afflictions, but he always gives them grace to endure, 2 Timothy 4:5. As the following points to demonstrate, Paul encourages Timothy, a young minister, to endure afflictions. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, because they're coming, right? Do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. The Thessalonian church received the word of God in much affliction. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They were going through some things. when they said, we're going to live for God, right? Having received the word in much afflictions with joy, there you go, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Job 10:15, Job's troubles, sicknesses, and circumstances were called afflictions. These he had to endure for some time before victory came. If I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. 30:16. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold of me. James 5:10-11. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So I'm going to tell you right now, the afflictions will teach you patience if you don't have it already. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distress, along with a thorn of the flesh, seem to be Paul's lot all through life. These he patiently endured by the grace of God, 2 Corinthians 12. It is not expedient for me to be doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, it's funny, I've read this a couple of times in the last couple Sundays, right? I cannot tell, God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. Go to 3. And I knew of such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now forbear, lest any man should think of me above which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times I asked the Lord to take this away from me, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So there are many afflictions. Psalms 34:19, Brother Josh. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Doesn't say he does it immediately. He just says he does. But they are working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight in glory. Romans 8:18. We're going to kind of push through these pretty quickly. It's getting closer. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us or in us. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 4:15-17. Go to 15. It said 17, but I started reading it a little more, and I wanted to back up a little bit. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't want to choose just what's going on right now. I want to push past what I see here in front of me, and I know what's going on the other side. I know what's going on in eternity, and that's my mission. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to focus on my eternity. And so Hebrews 11:25, if affliction becomes our lot, we should never despair, for God gives us grace to endure. Choose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He's talking about Hebrews. He's talking about Moses. Moses chose the affliction of the people than to live in Pharaoh's house and enjoy the pleasures of sin. Our afflictions are many. How about hardness? We're going to endure hardness. In the context of God's word, it means undergoing hardships that come upon us because we're Christian. There are going to be things and people that come against you just because of what you believe, not because of anything else. Christians are soldiers, and the life of a soldier has never been an easy battle. Battles, trials, difficulties are the constant lot of the child of God, and Satan sees to that. He's going to try to trip you up as much as he can. We are willing to undergo a few hardships and endure a few and necessary things for the gospel's sake. Paul admonishes Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, Brother Josh, to endure the hardness of a good soldier. There thou for endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Acts 12:25. John Mark, a helper of Paul and Barnabas, in his early life was not able to endure the hardships of the ministry, so he returned home. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Go to Acts 13:5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Continue. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. So there's going to be some that stay with you, and there's going to be some that have your corner. And not every day of our Christian life will be easy, and at times we'll be called on to endure hardness. In this situation, we must keep in mind that our eternal reward awaits at the end. We're gonna go through some grief. Grief in this context of the New Testament comes from the Greek word lupe, which means a state of sorrow, heaviness, or sadness that comes as a result of our being buffeted or suffering wrongfully for doing well. It's not like grief when somebody dies or a loved one dies. It's not that kind of grief. It's being wrongfully accused just because you do good. So our good and our righteous life can be filled with grief and fall from false accusations, criticisms, and rejections by others. And we must often endure tears and sorrow in order to identify with Christ. When facing this dilemma, we should remember that Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3-4, Brother Josh. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So let us keep the following passages in mind when we call upon the Lord to endure grief. 1 Peter 2:19-20, for this is thankworthy of a man for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffered wrongfully. For what glory is it if ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently? That's a question. Are you going to be patient with it? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Take it with patience. When something comes upon you, when things happen to you and you're living for God and you know you're living for God, just know I'm taking this with patience. Automatic, it's so It's easy to fight something that you can see, right? But when you know already your adversary, when you know his tricks, when you know his devices, when you know that he uses the same things over and over and over, then it's easy just to go, you know what? I know where this came from. I identify this. But Brent, there's been a lot of things that I've been like, I flagged that. I know exactly where that came from. It's just in my mind, I flagged it. And I'm going to take it with joy. I'm going to take it with patience, right? It's flagged. There's been so many people in my corner through the things that I have gone through in my entire life, and I'm not talking about just currently, but I'm talking about things that I've endured, right? I just flagged it. Yep, that's of the devil. I know exactly where that's come from. It's like, but God's in my corner. God has confirmed multiple times in my corner. And so 1 Peter 3:14-17, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. There's a blessing in enduring. Blessing number one, happiness. If I can get through this, then I'm going to be happy. And so I'm going to do it with patience because my happiness is of the utmost importance, right? And happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I mean, if I'm going to suffer, I'd rather suffer for something that I didn't do than suffer for something that I did do. Well, that's a really weird thing to say, Brother Colton. I'm like, no, because I know God's got his hand in it. If I'm suffering for something that I did do, that's called chastening, and we'll get to that in a second. But if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. You know what it means? It means that I have a peace, even though I'm in turmoil. I have a peace that I'm enduring through this, but I know that God's in it. I know God's in it. And so put a mark on it. Be like, God's in this. This was of the devil. I know this was of the devil. And I know God's in this. I know God's in my corner. And so I'm going to endure. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. All right, so chastening. Because God loves us, he not only blesses us, but he also chastens us, Hebrews 12. I'm not going to go into that for time's sake. So chastening has to do with instruction, correction, training, and discipline. God chastens us to keep us from being condemned in the world. 1 Corinthians 11:32, Brother Josh. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So I would rather the Lord chasten me and correct me here than for me to stand before him and be judged with the world. No one enjoys or delights in chastisement. It is not something that I try to go to. Brother Crosswhite, I'm coming to your office today because I know you haven't chastised me in a while, so I need your chastisement today. You're not going to see me do that. The pastor before Brother Crosswhite, where I had my foundation, and Brother Jerry Green, and Brother Green only called me into his office one time. And I dreaded going to that office that one time, right? And so he chastened me. I fixed the problem. And God forgave, and we moved forward. So no one enjoys it, but it's something that we must endure. Without it, we'll lose our sonship with God. We'll become illegitimate children in his sight. Chastisement is not for our destruction. It is for our good. I'll say it again. Chastisement is not for our destruction. I need pastor to say no. I need a man of God in my life to say no. Or that was wrong. You need to fix it. Right? So I'm getting close to the end. Temptation. James, to our amazement, said that the person who endures temptation is blessed. James 1:12. God has promised us deliverance in times of temptation in order to be proved. When we endure and do not receive deliverance from temptation, we are blessed. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. All right, so there's blessings, right? Here it is, blessings. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So my blessing might not be today. But I know I have an eternal blessing coming if I just endure, right? So temptation falls into two categories in our scripture. One part of temptation, or the first category, is the enticement to do evil, or the enticement to evil. And the other one is a test or a trial in our life. Those are the two types of temptation. Know this, God never entices us to do evil. He may allow Satan a very short leash to do so, but he will not entice us. There are times when God tests us and tries us to prove our dedication and consecration to him. God tried and proved Abraham by commanding him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar. Abraham was not enticed to do evil. God was proving Abraham's love for him. Christians cannot evade or avoid times of temptation, but when they come, we should not feel backslidden just because we're being tempted. I'll say this again and again and again. Temptation is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. But succumbing to temptation is a sin. So if we endure the temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, Brother Josh, if we endure that temptation, victory will be ours. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And then go to James 5:10-11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercies. And so, and the last thing I'm going to talk about tonight, or tonight, this morning, is Jesus Christ endured the cross and the contradiction of sinners against himself. The Lord's cross was not joyous, but it's funny. He go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I think it's where this is at. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Go to the next one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. And I stopped and I was like, God, what joy was set before you to endure that? Despising the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne. What joy? And so I literally asked the Lord in my living room, I'm like, what joy was that? And the Lord began to deal with me, and it was not the joy of the cross, but it was the joy of the salvation that it would bring. He was not looking at what was in front of him. He was looking at what was beyond that. And so when we endure afflictions, when we endure the things that happen in our lives, know this, that it's not, there is joy. That is one of the blessings of endurance, is joy. But it's not joy because I'm dealing with this. It's joy because I'm looking at what's going to happen on the other side. That's the joy. That's the blessing of enduring. The blessing of enduring is knowing that this is only but a season. Eventually, I'm going to be tried and I'm going to come forth as gold, right? So by the cross we bear, we are crucified to the world and the world to us, according to Galatians 6. The offense of the cross has never ceased and never will. The Christian must bear its reproach. Our identity with him is through the cross. There are things that we have to crucify. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to get some things that are under the blood. And that helps us to endure the things that we're going to endure. Cross-bearing, to the truest sense of the word, will never be fun or easy. It's a heaviness. It's cruelty. And its cruelty will remain until the day that we lay the cross down and we pick up our crown. May God help us to endure the cross as we pick it up daily and walk with him. We are called with a heavenly calling. We are called to do things for God. And in that sense, there are things that we're going to have to endure. And as I close, I was doing some reading, and I came across this. And I'm going to end with this. There's only two things to worry about in life. A guy tells this story. He said, my grandma once told me that there's only two things that you ever have to worry about in life. Whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. If you're healthy, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to get better or we're going to get worse. If you get better, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you get worse, there's only two things you have to worry about. Whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. If you live, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you die, you only got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. If you're going to heaven, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you're going to hell, you only got two things to worry about. Original or extra crispy. We're going to endure some things in our life. And I want to make heaven my home. And so with the joy that is set before me, I endure. And I hope with joy that is set before you, that you endure. So we can all make it to heaven together. Brother Crosswell.